You should have the handout, Recognizing the Roles, and it's Lesson 5, The Role of the Husband, and we should finish that this morning. And if you have questions, comments, just stop us as we go through. And we got more than half of it last week, but we should be able to finish it this week as well. And then next week, we'll keep on going with the responsibilities of the husband, which is the more details. So we're seeing a lot of different things. All right. Let me start with prayer. We'll kind of give a quick review as we'll go through to where we stopped last time, but we're talking about the role of the husband. Let me start with a prayer and then we'll get into it. Heavenly Father, thank you for a great morning. Lord, you are a gracious, merciful God. You love us beyond we could imagine. You do with us and deal with us in ways that are grace and mercy. Your love is abounding. You do things through us beyond what we could even ask or imagine. We thank you, Lord, that you deal with us in grace and mercy. You love us with an unconditional, unchanging, sacrificial love. Thank you, Lord, that as we look at the role of the husband and we see that he is to love his wife as Christ loved the church, we see it's the same thing. Lord, we just ask you that you teach us this morning as we look at these roles. Lord, it's been fun to look at this, and it's a real challenge for all of us. As we saw the roles and responsibilities of the wives, now we're looking at the roles and responsibilities of the husbands. Teach us, Lord. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, somebody sent this to me, and as you know, we're dealing all kind of different subjects in this class, so I thought I better deal with this one. This one is called, What is Celibacy? Okay? So celibacy, it says, celibacy can be a choice in life or a condition imposed by circumstances. So here's a little story. While attending a marriage weekend, Frank and his wife, Ann, listened to the instructor declare that it is essential that the husband and wives know things about each other that are important to each other. He then turned to the men and addressed them. He said, can you name and describe your wife's favorite flower? Frank leaned over, touched Ann's arm gently, and whispered, gold medal all purpose, isn't it? Thus began Frank's life of celibacy. Oh, boy. You don't get it? I'll talk to you afterwards. Well, maybe we better. I don't know how to start from there. I didn't think that would do that. But anyway, okay, here's what we've been doing. And if you want to just start at this top, and we were talking about recognizing the roles and the role of the husband. And we really talked about how the Bible actually said, and when Jesus talked about the Sermon on the Mount, he says, what we treasure, we love. And we always get it backwards. We think, I love this, so I'm going to take care of it. But the truth is, what we think is valuable, that's what we love. And so we are to treasure our wives. And as we continued on, we just talked about, go ahead to the next slide. We said, husbands, you're to love your wives. And be not bitter, embittered against them. And talked about Ephesians, cherish the wife. First Peter said, give honor to the wife. So we saw all that. And then we said, let's remind us where we are in the study. Lesson 1 and 2 basically deal with marriage and the family, introduction and the whole. And then lesson 3 was the role of the wife, and lesson 4 was the responsibilities of the wife. We're in lesson 5, which is the role of the husband. And then next time, it'll be the responsibilities of the husband. Then we're going to take a little bit. And as I told y'all last time, I'm expanding some things as I study. So we may add some more lessons. We may, you know, move some things around a little differently. But right now, I've got 2 for the role of the children and 2 for the role of the parents. But we may expand that a little bit. Because when I originally started this study, I didn't have but 6 lessons. And I'm already moving and changing some things on it. And so that's what we're seeing. After that, we then talked about our position in Christ, which is the book of Colossians. And then in chapter 3 and 4, he says, let's live out according to our position. And that's how we started our main study and basically said we need to live out who we are. And in Colossians, the passage that we started looking at was Colossians. We had verses 18 and 19. Let me just throw this up where it says, wives submit and husbands love. And then we spend some time, and you should be in Ephesians chapter 5. And in Ephesians 5, we saw the wife's role was to submit and respect. Now, let me just tell you, I've done right at 260 weddings. And I think out of the 260 weddings, I think there's only been 2 weddings that I've done that of those 260 that I did not do premarital counseling. One of them, they got premarital counseling from someone else, and I had a part in the wedding. And then one, it was not a way to do any kind of counseling. And And so I always do counseling. And when we get to the wife's role, it is always this aspect of submit and respect. And we look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33, where it says, nevertheless, let each individual among you, talking about the husbands, love his own wife as himself. And the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. And one of the things we talked about in this submission and respect, which is what we saw, is that a man feels that when she comes under his authority, that's what the submission is, and when she respects him, she's enjoying this, I can tell. When she respects her husband, he actually feels loved, and that is the key. Then, I think that we then looked a little bit quickly about the specifics of the responsibilities. And then we started with the men, and we started with Socrates' quote. You can go ahead and go back to the quote just for a second. He says, by all means, marry. If you get a good wife, you'll become happy. If you get a bad one, you'll become a philosopher. And that's really, really true, I think. I don't know. I'm happy, so I'm not a philosopher at all. Anyway, I got out of that one, didn't I? Okay. Now, here's what we said for the husbands. If the bottom line is you really study it. And if that's Colossians. Love your wives and be not bitter against them. I think I wanted to say something more. Go back to that one just for a second. I want to say something about that. The word embittered has an idea of anger and harshness. And it's very easy for men to be angry and harsh because we have those kind of personalities. You know, we're more of the, let's go do this and this has to be done now. And this is the way we look at life sometimes. And we're not careful. If we're not feeling loved, we will be very harsh. And that's why he says, husbands, love your wives and be not embittered against them. And we talked about breaking that cycle because we said this, that the wife might say, I'll start respecting him when he starts loving me. And he'll say something like, well, I'll start loving her if she'll start respecting me. And that cycle never stops. So you got to break the cycle. So each one of us has got to stop it. When you go to Ephesians chapter 5, what we find is there's two big aspects of the man. He is to love and to lead. And we started with love last time. Now I want to show you, there were three aspects. First one, it says, husbands, love your wives. Look at Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. We start thinking about the husband loving the wife. There is a picture here of Jesus Christ in the church. And the husband is a picture of Christ. And the wife is a picture of the church. And just as Jesus Christ loved us and died for us and sacrificed for us and has an unconditional love for us, that's how the husband is for the wife. And just as the church submits to Christ and comes under his authority, then the wife submits to her husband and comes under his authority. So that's how it fits. Now, let's talk about the love, and we mentioned it last time, and I'll go fairly quickly through these, but the first one is the husband loves with an unconditional love, and that is vital. We do not love conditionally in a marriage relationship. We do not say, I'll love her if. I always teach people there are three kinds of love. I love you if, I love you because, and I love you. I love you if you treat me right. I love you if you're smart. I love you if you take care of me. I love you if this. That won't last. And then I love you because. I love you because you're smart. I love you because you're handsome. I love you because you make me feel good. That may not last either. So I love you if and I love you because do not last. The I love you is what lasts. And I love you is a unconditional love. And so the husband is to love his wife with an unconditional love. It is not based on feelings but actions. And that's one of the keys that I had to learn. Because I told y'all that I was coaching at Mississippi State and I was 23, 24, 25 years old. I did not understand love at all. I thought love was a feeling. And I thought you got feelings for somebody, might start dating somebody, and then you might start really liking them, and you have feelings for them, and you think that's love. But what would happen is those feelings would change, and you'd say, well, okay, I fell out of love, or I don't love that person. And I kept saying to myself, how can you stand before God and say, I will love you for as long as I live, because you can't promise that. Well, you can if it's a feeling. Because feelings go up and down and come and go. But love is not a feeling. Love is a commitment. And so we can. And so we love with an unconditional love. And let me remind you that the respect part is also unconditional. I did a premarital counseling yesterday with a couple. They came in my office. And we talked about the respect part. And I said, do you think, as we looked at all and we talked about it, I said, do you think that in the marriage relationship, this, you're respecting him is based on him earning that respect. And she said, in my life of everything I've ever dealt with, I've always heard people had to earn respect. But I see in the marriage relationship, it's an unconditional respect, just like it's an unconditional love. And it is. And that's the only way it's going to work. Okay, so we love unconditionally. I did a couple of those quotes last time, and I'm not going to read those again. The one about what unconditional love is, and then that other person. Then, if you continue on, the second thing is we love with a sacrificial love. A sacrificial love. Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for us, as Jesus Christ died for us, the husband is to die for the wife. In fact, I think that next line says, the husband loves his wife enough to die for her. And that is what men do. We've talked about it over and over and over, that men, when men are performing their roles, and let me just tell you, that most men do not understand their role today. Men growing up in our culture today, and let me almost put it this way, boys growing up in our culture today are becoming boys a lot longer than they used to be. We're not growing up, and they're not taking responsibility, and they're not standing strong, and that's what we're seeing. And so when men understand what they do, and what men understand what they're supposed to do, they're willing to die for their wife and their family and their country. That's what they do. And the Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love just as Christ also loved us and gave himself up for us. Romans 5, 8, God demonstrates his love toward us while we're yet sinners. Christ died for us. The comparison in this passage is as Christ loved the church enough to die, the husband loves his wife enough to die for her. And that is, it's a unconditional sacrificial love. And that is the comparison as Christ loved the church. We've got those verses for you there. The third one, and this is the one, did I mention Titanic last week? We did, didn't we? Right. I mean, who died on the Titanic? I mean, who? Jack, I know. Jack and about most of the other men. And, so that's the key. The third one. Yeah, this is a little bit harder one because we say we love with a self-love. Notice it says, husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. Now, why is it that he's to love his wife as he loves himself? Why? Because you're one flesh. Because something happens when two people come together and God brings them together and somebody says, I now pronounce you husband and wife. I always say immediately after that, what God has joined together, let no man put apart. Because God does something right then. They become one flesh. And that's why he says, you love her as you love you, because she really is you. You're the same. Now, I want you to think for just a second that the way the man is to love his wife is an unconditional love, a sacrificial love, and to love as himself. That's the same as Christ. Think about it. Christ has an unconditional love for us, right? If you're serving God, does he love you? If you're not serving God, does he love you? If you're a believer, does he love you? If you're an unbeliever, does he love you? Does his love ever change? Is it conditional on what we do? No. Okay, is it a sacrificial love? He gave himself for us. Now, the third one's a little bit trickier sometimes. Is it a self-love? Who is the church? The body of Christ. See? So he loves us as he loves his own body, because that's who he is. That's who we are, with the body of Christ. So some incredible, incredible things. Now, that let's talk about for just a second, how can the man show love? I thought of some things. And I want to give them to you. First of all, spend time with her. Now, we're going to see something. Let me just say something. And this is for you ladies. I want you to think about this. There's going to be a time when we talk about relating with men. And we're going to get to that over in the responsibilities. That sometimes your man is just going to want you to be with him. Now, it's not to talk or anything. He may be watching a football game. He says, here, honey, come watch the game with me. Don't think you're going to be talking. He just wants you with him, right? There's something about a man that wants you with him. Now, on the flip side, when it says spend time with her, that doesn't mean watching a football game unless she wants to watch a football game. Because when we spend time with wives, it's not just to sit there. It's not just to be there. It's more to it than that. It is spending time. It is affection. It is being close to her. It is actually a physical aspect a lot of times, but let me just say it in a nice way. It's a physical aspect that not necessarily has anything to do with sex. And so the idea there is to spend time with them. And you'll find that in that book, Love Languages and all that, one of the ones that women have a lot is just the whole idea of time, being together, spending time together. The second thing there is to talk to her. And what I mean by that is you've heard us talk about how men, we think, and we could go and be gone all day long. And when we come in and she says, "What did you do today?" What are we going to say? Nothing. Because, you know, you went 3 hours to a basketball game with somebody. What'd y'all talk about? Nothing. We didn't do it. You've been watching TV. What are you watching? Nothing. And so when we tend to come home, or when we tend to get with our wives and they say, "Tell me about your day," we say, "Well, I didn't do anything." Right? What we need to do is share our lives. Now for guys, it's not that easy, right? Because we don't have that many words. The truth is, they've shown it that women speak not quite twice as many words as men do in a day. That's just the way, they're just more verbal. Well, sometimes we use all our words up before we get home. Is this true, guys? What about it, right? We get home, we've had stuff all day long, we've had meetings, we had appointments, we talk, we did this, we get home, we don't want to say anything. And they say, "Tell me about your day." And you go, "It's nothing, nothing." So what we got to do is talk more. So we've got to talk to them and tell them what's going on in our lives. Tell her about your life. For us, we think, who wants to know anything about our life? They do. They do. The third thing. Now, this is unique. Listen to her. Now, what I mean listen to her is, see, you'll come in and she'll say, "You're not going to believe what happened. We got a problem." "Oh, what is it?" "Well, this and this and this and this." "And what do we do?" "Okay, here's what you do." See, we want to fix everything, but they're not wanting us to fix it. They're just wanting us to what? Listen to them. So when you talk to them and they've got an issue or a problem, they're not asking us to fix it. Now, occasionally they'll say, "We got to fix this." And then you say, "Okay, that means I fix it," right? But up to this point, when they're saying, "What about this? And we got to do," then the dog runs through this, you know, "What are we?" And you're saying, "Yeah, okay, yeah, that's something, isn't it?" You know, because the bottom line is we all want to fix everything immediately. And they're wanting to be heard, not to be fixed. Okay? So that's number three. Number four is to honor her. And she must realize that she is the most valuable thing you have. The most valuable. Remember, because she's the princess and we're the prince. And we fought knight, we fought dragons and everything else to get her, right? Would we do anything we could to take care of her and to protect her and to all of those things? That's what we're supposed to do. Now, as I said a while ago, the problem with men today is they don't know their role. They don't know what a man's supposed to do. They don't even think they're a prince. They don't even know what they're supposed to do. And part of the problem is they never growing up. And so we gotta get men to grow up and understand who they are and to honor their wives. Cause in reality, almost every one of the men in this room, we married up. We did. Right? What we married was a lot better than us. Right? And the truth is, if they'd have really known what we were like, they would have never married us. Right? So we ought to say, "Thank you, Lord, for giving me her, and that we were able to get the I do's and everything in before she saw what I was really like and changed her mind." Right? So we got to say, you know, how valuable is she? How wonderful is she? And the last one there is commit to her. She needs to feel that she's the most important thing and that we're totally committed to her and that she's safe with us. And there are a lot of ramifications of that part right there. And we could go into a lot of details about our feeling safe and the commitment not only in the marriage, the commitment to provide and protect. And we'll get more to that when we get into the husband's responsibilities. But there's so much there. So the first aspect of the husband is to love. To love unconditionally, to love sacrificially, to love as his own body. And we talked about a few things that we could do in that way. The second one. And I don't know if we'll get through today now, but the second one is this, and that the husband is to lead your wife and family. Now, we got a culture that that doesn't sound exactly right, because people don't understand what the headship of is, but look at verse 23 of Ephesians 5. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. As the church is subject to Christ, so wives are to be subject to their husbands in everything. Husband is the head. He's been placed in that position. It has nothing to do with inferiority or superiority. It has to do with the role that God has appointed. We've already talked about this when we talked about submission. The man has been placed in the leadership position. Now, what do you do when you have a situation in a marriage in which you have a husband and wife, and there's a decision to be made, and the husband says, I think we need to do this, and the wife says, I think we need to do this. If there is no headship, there can be no decision. Because he says, I think we need to move to St. Louis. She says, I don't think we need to move to St. Louis. Well, I'm thinking, we're moving to St. Louis. We're not moving to St. Louis. Wait a minute, what are you going to do? Tie goes to who? How does it work? How does it work? It works that the husband has been placed as the head and the leader. Now, let me tell you what the husband is supposed to do. If he thinks they should move to St. Louis, he comes in and says, honey, I've got this offer. I've got this. I'm thinking maybe we need to move to St. Louis. She says, I don't want to move to St. Louis. He says, that's okay. Let's just think about it then, because I'm thinking, this is what I'm thinking, but tell me why. And as she talks and talks through it, he may say, well, after hearing what you have to say, I think you're right. We're not going to move to St. Louis. But who still made the decision? He has to make the decision. He may say to her, you're right. After looking at it, all the options, things I didn't even think about, we're not moving to St. Louis. He still makes the decision. He may say, honey, I hear everything you're saying. I think everything you're saying is right. But I still think what's best for the family is that we move to St. Louis. What do you do? You move to St. Louis. So you've got to have a way. And that's why God placed one of the members of that husband, wife, that one flesh. Somebody's got to ultimately make those decisions. He is the head of the home. He is the leader. That's what his role is to be. He's the provider, protector. He's the all of those kind of things. And he's got to lead. Now, listen to this. I want to show you this, and I think we're going to run out of time. But he's to lead in three big areas, spiritually, financially, and physically. And we hadn't had the first bell yet, have we? Or have we? Have we had any bell? No bell? Okay. It's past time for the first bell, so I didn't want to keep us going too long. Of course, we could go as long as we want to, right? Because nobody's going to come in here until we're through, right? But we better not do it that way. Okay. By the way, I need to go back and say one thing. We've already talked about this, but you remember men and women think totally different. We think totally different. And that's for when we get this idea that we're moving to St. Louis, we got our minds made up already. But they think differently. And what we've got to do, and it's always wise, I always tell you this, men, you must listen to your wife. That didn't mean do whatever she says. It says listen to her. You go to her and you say, I'm thinking St. Louis, what are you thinking? And find out what she says. Because she's going to see it from a totally different way. And it may be that what she sees, you go, I never thought of it that way. It's best not to move. That's what you've got to do. I think I've talked about this before, but women have that intuition, and they do. Is that not true? Y'all know things before we know them. I don't think it's just because we're dumb, right? I think you just know things before we know them. It could be that two guys are standing here and a wife, and somebody come up and a man come up and two men and a woman talk to that man and he leaves and the two guys say, he's a good guy. And she says, something about that guy. I don't know what it is. There's something about that guy. And she's right. She has that intuition because they use both sides of the brain at the same time. And we use neither side of our brain at the same time, right? So, yes.
Don't you think that with using your analogy of St. Louis, unless she has that unconditional respect for him, for his choice, that if they did disagree and he says, well, I still think we need to go to St. Louis, that's the only way that they could survive.
Well, they have a lot of problems. It's the truth. That's why this whole submission is, you remember that submit and respect go together. It's called respectful submission. It's really hard to submit someone to someone you don't respect. But respect is not earned in this situation. It's an unconditional respect, just like it's an unconditional love. He may say, I think what's really best is St. Louis. But as he looks at this whole thing and he realizes maybe the best overall, even though it might be better for me to go to St. Louis, for my wife and our family, it's not best. Look, I had a friend that worked at a company and he was rolling. I'm talking about moving up and making a lot of money and doing all kinds of things. He was really good at what he did. And he lived in Mississippi and, had a good salary. And his company came to him and said, we're going to move you to Los Angeles because you're so good that we've got a major place out there and we're going to move you to Los Angeles. And his kids, one of his kids was in the 10th grade. One of his kids was in the 8th grade and the other was in the 5th grade. And he came home and said, I've got this offer to go to Los Angeles. And as they talked, it would have been great for him. But as he talked to his wife and he looked at his family, he said, it will not be a great move for them. And so he told him no. And you know what? He pretty much never moved up in that company. But that's okay. He said, that's okay. My family comes long before my company. And so sometimes we as the prince has to make a really tough decision. Sometimes. So you're exactly right. Any bells? Because it's past time. Oh, we did? We got a bell? Both bells? Or just one? Okay, let's do this. Since it's a good stopping place, let's stop right here because we're going to talk about lead. And what I'll do is the next time I'll bring lesson six as well. So, because I'm sure we'll finish this one and get into the responsibilities of the man. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, when we think about what we're supposed to do, it's hard. It's hard for all of us. It's hard for the wives. It's hard for the husbands. If we want to be as pictures of Jesus Christ in the church, if we want to live in such a way that we're bringing people to Christ and are standing strong in a fallen world, it's hard. And so when we think about the ladies and the loving leadership and the loving their husbands and loving their children and being a pure woman and taking care of the home and all of that, we pray that they'll stand strong. And then we think about men, and men are supposed to be the loving leaders and love their wives as Christ loved the church with a sacrificial love, an unconditional love, and a self-love in that way. We're supposed to do that. And then we're to lead. We're to set the direction for our family, spiritually, financially, physically. We're to lead. We're to grow up and be men. May we do that. Lord, help us as we continue to go through these things. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.